Hello, it's fantastic to have all of you back. Today's topic is entitled The Simplicity of the Heart. I have in the studio with me Sister Denise, and in this series we are looking at how you address your spiritual needs. We are aware that women globally have spiritual needs apart from all their other needs, and this series is geared to giving you answers to most probably your unasked questions. So Sister Denise, it's wonderful having you here.
Thank you.
Simplicity of the heart, that topic sits with me in a manner that I can't quite articulate, and that's why we have you in the studio. What does it mean, Sister Denise, to have simplicity in the heart? The reason this topic interests me is because simplicity is not a virtue that people will ordinarily think of, be it male or female. We strive towards honesty and integrity and punctuality, etc., but not simplicity.
Well, of course, simplicity takes you away from all of the stuff that you have to buy and all of the complexities and dramas that people love to get off on. But simplicity in the heart, of the heart, is very straightforward. You are what you are. You don't have that many needs. You are pure. I think simplicity and purity go together. And in a simple heart, you just have virtue. You can put God in your heart, and then you don't have any of these vengeance and grudges and all of the negativities that people often hold in their heart, and dishonesty and so on, that creates so much complications in the heart. And then you see, of course, the fragmented and broken heart is not at all simple.
What I find interesting is if you ask a woman anywhere on the planet, would you like a life of peace and serenity, or would you like a life that does this, almost everybody will say, I want peace.
Yes.
I want calmness. I want harmony internally and externally. But Sister Denise, the reality is totally opposite. Everyone's lives, almost everyone's lives, has a shocking amount of drama in it. We oscillate between euphoria and depression, quite often on one day. What is it within the human psyche that draws us towards drama?
Number of things. One of them is that because people are totally empty inside, when they go into quietness, peace, serenity, there's kind of nothing there, so they get bored. And I think it's out of boredom and irritation with their emptiness that they go for this melodrama style of life. And the second reason, I think, is because of materialism puts people into the pleasure-pain dimension. If you're not, they have this question, are you having fun yet? You know, so it's as if people always have to be having some sort of peak experience, otherwise they're not alive. And so I think it's the materialism, the emptiness, and the culture. They create this sort of addiction to melodrama.
The problem with that is once a woman is in the cycle of the drama, it's very difficult to get yourself out of it. How does one get oneself out of that? It's almost like a vortex that's created, isn't it?
What I feel is to handle the materialism is too much out there, too much part of the culture and so on. But what you can look at, first of all, is the emptiness, because that's very personal. So if I say, okay, my fundamental problem is I'm weak, I'm empty. What do I have to do is fill, you see. So of course, when you go into silence, when you go into your serenity, you have to cross this terrain of irritated boredom. to actually get to a space where you can connect with the Supreme Being, go into another dimension, a spiritual dimension, and then start filling yourself. So that's really the price that you pay, is you have to be willing to cross that unpleasant terrain.
The addiction to drama leaves a woman feeling empty and drained and worthless, and leaves one with negative feelings. How is that that despite the fact that we've reached such a low, we still do not look for answers, and we continue for years in this space? Why is it? I'm specifically thinking now of women in abusive relationships.
Well, again, we have to really look at the nature of addiction. And usually people associate addiction with addiction to substance abuse, right? But addiction to drama, nowadays, the world of psychology is starting to talk about that, so it is a real thing. The thing is this, an addict is totally empty, spiritually empty. And so what the drama does is it gives you a temporary high. But as soon as that's passed, which is quite quick, then you go to a very deep low, you see. And then that low compels you to search for another source of drama, you see. So this is why you go into this up and down, and you have to have all the more extreme and excessive dramas to get any kind of high. And I think that our culture really has not been willing to face the reality that it is a highly addictive culture. And the only way that we can get through it, get past it, is to sit down and face the reality that, you know, pretty much everyone is in that boat. And do we want to carry on navigating through life, a very stormy, unpleasant, and self-destructive life? Do we really want to keep on doing that? Or do we want to heal ourselves? I mean, this program is about women of the future. And this addictive way is something of the legacy of the past. So we cannot have any kind of bright future unless we face it full on.
Sure. It takes a lot to do that, though, doesn't it? Facing yourself, because it involves facing your demons. And which one of us wants to do that?
Well, I think the first thing we have to face is that I am empty. And all the things that we use to fill the hole in the soul, including all this drama and so on, abusive relationships, whatever it is, it is not, that hole in the soul cannot be filled by any of those things. It can only be filled from a spiritual source, which means that we have to consciously and conscientiously destroy, negate, deal with, remove our dedication to materialism. So that's a huge paradigm shift, huge. Mm.
Is there a link between the two S's, simplicity and solitude?
Yes, simplicity and solitude are very linked, because I think that when you go into your solitude, you do feel differently, and you let go of all of the extras. And I also think that if you're not having a simple life and you have clutter, it really prevents you from being with yourself, from being with the divine, and also from seeing a true way forward for yourself. So yes.
I like the way you phrase that. It sounds very beautiful, and you make simplicity very attractive. Okay. Sister Denise, in the world out there, it is now commonplace globally to see people, you know, doing this all the time, that itself has become an addiction. You know, people have a fit if they're separated from their cell phone for even 5 minutes. Okay, the moment you hear it beep, you want to pick it up and see who's sending me a message or communicating with me right now, and how many people can I get back to within the next minute. It's become life. Take us through the relationship between simplicity and things and technology.
You know, my feeling is that the business community understood human weakness to the extent of being able to exploit that by inventing some of these social medias, because you see, when a person is by themselves, they feel anxious, they feel all this. So the technology is performing the same function, or the applications that are created are performing the same functions of engaging the mind in something which is sort of wasting your time, destroying your energy, and making you feel as if you're using your time usefully. Or maybe even people don't even need to feel that anymore, but it's just, it creates this compulsion, you see. And for a person to, you know, put it down and say, you know, I'm okay with my anxiety, I need to sit with my anxiety because I can never really be whole and true and myself until I cross that. So anxiety is what is left in the soul when you're into addictive behavior and you're not engaged in your addiction. You see, what you have is anxiety and then this compulsion to get back into your thing, whatever it is. That's the problem.
Okay. And it's not a question of, you know, I now want to practice simplicity, I'm going to set aside my cell phone. That's not it, is it?
Well, you know, it's called artificial intelligence. And so, you know, instead of being with your own mind, you're with some artificial mind that's taking over your whole life. And so you're sort of allowing yourself to be totally enslaved by some who knows what out there, you see. I mean, a lot of people are pulled into pornography, and then you're pulled into, what do people think of me? It's all about likes. Do you like me? If you don't like me, then that's the end of the world. I mean, who cares if somebody likes you or not? Do you like you? That's the most important thing, you know. Mm. So it's almost like a conspiracy of the, I don't know whether it's the business community or what, but to really rob people of themselves. And, you know, there are some substances that are illegal, like cocaine and heroin and whatnot. So if you use them or deal in them, then you're breaking the law. But there are other things which do the same work, but they're legal, so therefore that makes it okay. And I think that these new things that prey upon weak souls and get them into addictions are proliferating so quickly that the system of the legal system, the government system, is unable to say, you know, you can't do this. It's illegal because it's bad for you, you know, kind of the nanny, like in Hong Kong they call it a nanny government, you know, because, not Hong Kong, Singapore, because they, you know, you can't do chewing gum and you can't do this and you can't do that. So everybody's very, you know, ordered to be good, but even that hasn't really cured the system. To me, the only way you can really cure it is by facing the anxiety, the emptiness, and doing what you have to do to fill.
Mm. Yes, Denise, looking at you, it's quite obvious that your dress sense is very simple. A spiritual person has simplicity both internally and externally.
Well, yes, because your focus is on the inner world, and my dress is a uniform, because I am, you know, kind of my function in the world is a Raja Yoga teacher, so I'm wearing the dress of a Raja Yoga teacher, which I wear all the time. It's convenient. I don't have to worry about things. This is very inexpensive. Nice clothes are expensive, and you always have to have something new, something different every day. For me, it's so easy, not just simple, but easy. I take the next one on the shelf. I don't think about it. So that you save time, thought, money. And I feel very comfortable in this. And it even the white. White is a very pure color. It sort of resonates with my being. And it suits me.
The next question that comes to mind is something that causes me some amusement. In certain cultures across the world, the word simplicity is synonymous with stupidity.
Yes.
Why is that? And where on earth does it come from? The reason I'm asking this is because simplicity as presented by you and from a spiritual perspective sounds so beautiful and attractive. And, you know, it's even an insult in certain parts of the globe to say, you simple person.
Of course, because of the culture of sophistication.
Yeah.
And so sophistry means that, you know, you get into, you know, high-end fashion, and if you're not, you know, right up to the very minute, then you're excluded from the elite, you see. So this is a message that is passed down from the elite, that you have to be dressed a certain way, drive a certain car, have certain technical items, live at a certain address, go around the world to certain places, have lots of money, which is, of course, at the expense of everybody else. So this is sophistry, and the opposite of sophistry is simplicity. Mm-hmm. So by making simplicity an insult, I think a sophisticated culture will shore up its raison d'être, you know, because just sophistication for its own sake doesn't have any meaning. So you have to compare it with something else and say, well, look, that is of no use. It's you can't make money out of that. You know, it's just ordinary, whatever. But actually, simplicity is beautiful.
Could you then tell us how somebody who practices simplicity and leads an internal life of simplicity thinks, feels, speaks, behaves? What is the difference between this virtue and one that doesn't contain simplicity?
One that I think is really helpful is somebody else's problem is not my problem. You know, complications in life is everybody else's stuff is my business. It's not. I am my business, and whatever everybody else is doing or all their complications, it's not my problem. It's not my issue. I go along my way and I do the best I can with my life, and that's good enough. Hmm. In other respects, I think that, you know, a simple life is direct. You save your time, your energy, your thought, your breath. You can go into depth when you're simple, because externals are simple, which allows you to go into the internals, which are vast and deep and wonderful. But a person who's caught up in all those complexities and sophistications, their inner life is non-existent, and that makes them hollow people, you know.
I see. Okay. So I like the link that you just made between simplicity and depth as opposed to superficiality, which is one of the hallmarks of the times that we live in. That is very beautiful. Want to share more about that?
Well, I think, again, it's this whole issue of materialism. Science, technology really pulls us into matter, into things, into gizmos and gadgets and all of that stuff. It pulls you away from yourself, which means it empties you spiritually. And so then people become very susceptible to emotional upheaval, susceptible to threats, susceptible to temptations and all of that. So it really weakens the person, because science and technology has taken a position of being our master. And I think what spirituality does is it says, wait a minute, that is upside down. These things must always serve humanity. If humanity is going to serve its own desires and vices and its creations, then it's really topsy-turvy, upside down. And so you're operating as a slave under the illusion of being a master. And I think what spirituality is telling us is your rightful place is a master, but not a tyrant.
Master and not a tyrant.
Okay. You know, a master of the world. Say you're a master of your world, or however small or big it is. You care for it. You serve that world. You sustain it. You look after it. And then it becomes symbiotic. Otherwise, the way it is at the moment, it's adversarial, and humanity is destroying our habitat, destroying each other. What are we doing? It's like blindly going to our sort of doom, and can we please open up our eyes and maybe decide to go a different direction? And this is again why we're thinking about the future, because the future is the consequences of the present. So whatever it is we do now, that is creating the future. So stopping, taking a look, clearing the decks, sorting everything out, especially sorting out priorities. What is my priority as a human being? So the number one priority has to be myself. The number two priority has to be my connection with the Supreme Being, the Divine. And the number three priority has to be my karma. What am I doing? Because all this is going to result in not only my personal future, but a future for everybody else as well. Therefore, it's very important to do that.
Mm. Okay. Okay, so I think that is a good note on which to say goodbye to the viewers. So there you have it, simplicity. Very interesting subject, isn't it? Well, certainly the way it's been presented by Sister Denise. I think that it's something that we all need to sit and think about. And if you're one of those people on the planet for whom simplicity has been synonymous with stupidity, I would urge you to reconsider your definition. And I think the central question should be, what would be the benefit for me if my life were to become simpler, instead of accumulating through materialism, like Sister Denise shared, or gaining and acquiring and having too much in one's life? Simplicity is a virtue. It's not a vice. And I think it's time to apply our minds to the beauty of this virtue. So thank you, Sister Denise. That's been extremely informative, and I hope that the contents of today's talk will make your life that much richer. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you for the next episode. Goodbye. Take care.